John Williams here, Elise Glink here too. Hi, Elise. Welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Nice to be here. Merry Christmas week.
Yeah, Merry Christmas week to you too, although it's not the typical Christmas week. Not always, but not infrequently. There's a Santa Claus bump. We don't see that this year in the markets.
No, just like we don't see snow either. When Paul Conrad said 50s for Christmas Eve, I thought, well, that's something. Meanwhile, we normally do see the stock market go up, and it is all red across the board today.
And Steve Alexander and I were talking, or Steve was telling us, about some of the factors that are leading to that. What's on your radar?
Yeah, I think, Omicron is really just all over the board here. It's causing issues, travel up and down the markets. We're seeing it, cruise ships that are coming in with 50 passengers testing positive. Israel said that 14 people off of a flight from Miami yesterday tested positive. So now they're not allowing anybody to come from the U.S. or Canada. And if you are, there's new guidance from the CDC that not only do you have to be fully vaccinated if you're coming to the U.S., but you have to have a negative COVID test within one day of travel. And that's causing all kinds of problems for people around the world who are trying to get home for Christmas.
If you are coming to the United States, even if you're a U.S. citizen.
That seems to be what the CDC is saying today.
And that was the case this fall for those of us that were fortunate enough to travel into Europe. You had to test negative before returning. I think it depended on where you were, 48, maybe even 72 hours. But we had opened up travel for Europeans to the USA. I haven't heard that they have canceled that, have they?
No, I don't believe that they have, but I think you have to. This is going to be a day-to-day thing. If you look at the spread of Omicron, not just in the U.S., where some crazy number, like just overnight, 25% more or 50% more people testing positive. I think that this could be a day-to-day thing. So as the week marches on and you've got travel plans, you're going to want to watch very closely to see if even U.S. airlines are going to start changing their requirements. I'm not sure they will, but even for travel within the U.S., there could be some concerns. But when you look at the stock market and you see what's making the biggest moves, and I know that Steve ran down some of these, but the companies that really back-end things that touch COVID. So Moderna is doing well because they announced that a booster of Moderna will help prevent or keep people from getting super sick with Omicron. Carnival stock, when you get 50 people testing positive, it just sends everybody into thinking about what it was like when we weren't able to do cruises. Nobody wanted to go on cruises and the whole cruise industry shut down for months and months at a time. So lots of things moving around today.
I wonder if we'll see an exact repeat of last year. Will Peloton go back up? Will Zoom go back up? Will all the stay-at-home stocks have a 2.0 here?
Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about today is the fact that COVID seems to be this great accelerator of trends. And in the real estate industry, I was at the National Association of Real Estate Editors Conference recently. The counselors for real estate put together these trends, and COVID and this whole work from home trend has profoundly changed everything in our society and the way that we even think about making commercial or residential investments in real estate. All of that is shifting, and it's putting people into a very unsteady place, especially now that interest rates are going to be rising.
We'll pick it up here in a minute with Elise Glink, real estate and financial wellness expert. A great stock. Is it too late to get 100 questions every first-time home buyer should ask?
I think Amazon's got plenty of them.
ThinkGlink.com. Go to Amazon, buy her book. If you know somebody young who's starting out, or maybe old who's starting out, I like the sound of that. Now it's my turn. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. You're listening to WGN. Talking to Elise Glink about a few things. And Elise, while we did talk about the stock market, the Omicron factor for that matter, what are investors supposed to do? And let me guess that the answer is sit tight, stay put.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to get too excited here. We've seen the market just hit so many record highs over this past year, just as we've seen mortgage interest rates hit historic lows over the last 2 years, more than 15 or 16 times. And, while we are going to see interest rates go up, I'm not sure it's actually going to stick. So what we've seen over the last 12 or 13 years, every year, the real estate economists that I would talk to, like Lawrence Yun over at the National Association of Realtors, would tell me that mortgage interest rates are going up. This time the Fed is actually going to raise interest rates. They're going to try, and we'll have to see, you know, what happens there. But on the flip side, you know, if you've got holdings in the stock market, the last thing I think you should do is, you know, wholesale sell everything thinking that, you know, the market is going to dive. We're near at the top. You just want to hold firm and stay true to the investment strategy that you have, which is investing for the long run and making smart choices over time. If anything, I would say, you know, as markets take a dip, think about adding to your portfolio.
We've talked about the reasons the market are reacting the way they are. Is the Build Back Better failure? And I'm not, I don't know that the jury is out on this. They may get some version of that through eventually, but sure doesn't look good today. But is BBB impacting the market as well?
I think it is. You know, this, when you're talking about trillions of dollars being invested in the market, there's a lot of good that can come from that. And I get it. Everybody's worried about inflation and we're worried about our debt. But we also have a lot of issues that we have to deal with, like, you know, improvements in the roads and bridges and schools. And that was what the infrastructure bill was. This one was going to make investments in climate change. And so companies that are affected by the things that were going to be, you know, paid for via this bill, I think are taking a big hit today. And so that is, you know, additionally depressing the market.
So is that why Rivian is off then today, 7%?
Yeah, it is. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see more fluctuations there. You know, things that are about the future, hybrid vehicles, electric vehicles, you know, Rivian actually makes electric trucks. And that's something that's, again, on the future. They had some orders for those trucks, a lot of orders. You know, they're looking for investments. So all of these things together, you know, really are about the future. And so the Build Back Better bill, which is unfortunately now on hold until the new year, we'll have to see if it can come back. But, you know, I think it was Goldman Sachs that said that they've downgraded GDP for next year because Build Back Better isn't going to be on the table. And so, you know, what that tells me is that Build Back Better is as much about growth as it is about debt.
What do you mean by that?
Well, GDP, our gross domestic product, this is all about, you know, how much the economy is growing. So when Goldman Sachs says that taking Build Back Better off the table means that the economy is not going to grow as quickly, I think that's a negative for everybody. And to your point, you know, why is Rivian down or why are some of these other companies down? It's because the investment in these different industries or in climate change, fighting climate change, means they were going to grow.
Well, that's a messaging problem for Democrats then, isn't it? Not to have a full-fledged political conversation here, but if all of that is true, and maybe somebody else on the other side has an economist that disagrees with that, but if you want to make that case, you ought to make that case that is not maybe being heard or heard well enough in West Virginia anyway. You know, one of the planks of the bill was that Medicare would pay for dental and for vision for, or was it hearing and vision for senior citizens?
Yeah, I think dental and maybe hearing. But in any case, it was also supposed to lift, you know, there were 10 million kids who were lifted out of poverty simply by having these extra payments that their parents received over the last 6 months. And there's going to be another payment next April 15th that's attached to your taxes. Yeah, that's also gone away as well. But, you know, again, to go back to the messaging issue, completely agree with you. I don't think most people understand what's in this bill. It's big and it's massive. And sometimes just calling things Build Back Better doesn't mean the same thing to me as it might mean to somebody else.
I thought that slogan sounded clunky anyway, and it had changed more than once. Let's talk about Zoom. Executive says hybrid work will continue to drive growth after the pandemic?
Yeah, so this is really interesting, John. And this, I was kind of getting at this about the Counselors of Real Estate Trends. You know, they've highlighted that we've got a structural change that's going on here in the economy, and it's directly impacting commercial real estate or where people actually go to work. And what Zoom has profited from is that we've got this hybrid model, or even just a complete remote work model going on now, and it's continuing to expand. And I don't think when everybody went home last March, April, and May, we all expected to just still be working from home. But it turns out people don't want to go back. They like working from home. They're productive, for the most part, working from home. And you're seeing companies like Google, which is really a market leader, saying, yeah, we thought everybody would come back in January, but not so fast. And they've now pushed that off indefinitely. And so Zoom is looking forward and saying, you know, there's going to be more of a need for us to be able to communicate effectively remotely, at least for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. I guess everybody has their own reaction to working at home versus working in the office. Some like it, some don't. But obviously the trend is the hybrid or at home. I wonder if anybody has or will be able to do some sort of psychological study, because human beings are social creatures. And I don't know that communicating even over a video screen is the same as being in an office or a factory or a school or wherever with other human beings. It would seem to me like that somehow has something to do with our well-being, you know?
Oh, I completely agree. In fact, tomorrow and Wednesday, tomorrow I'm getting in the car and I'm driving to Kalamazoo, Michigan, which is halfway between where the president of my company, Best Money Moves, where he lives. He's in Detroit, and we picked Kalamazoo. It's in the middle, and we're going. I haven't seen him in almost 2 years, and we're going to meet in the middle, and we're going to talk about 2022. How we're going to do that safely with masks, standing apart, I don't know. But the point is, I haven't seen him in a long time. Wednesday, I'm driving to Milwaukee to do the same thing with one of our big business partners. We're going to take a walk outside in the Botanic Garden, but spend some time in the same general space, because you really have to try and figure out, if you're going to be in a business, how you can work with people in a way that everybody feels comfortable with. But I miss seeing my people, and I miss being with them in person and just trying to figure that out like everybody else is.
That's Elise Glink. Everybody for Christmas wants her book, 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask. ThinkGlink.com. You can order it on Amazon or wherever finer books are sold. Nice to talk to you, Elise.
You too, John. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
That's right. This will be, I guess, our last hit before that.
I'll be filling in for you next week, but you won't be there.
No. Now that you mention it, yeah, so will. And Christmas is this weekend, right? Am I mistaken
it sure
about
is.
That? What, with it being the 20th and all? So have a Merry Christmas, Elise.
Thanks so much.
Let's talk a little bit with a regular guest, the senior editor at Chicago Inno, about, Jim, should we start with your annual list of companies to watch for, or do you want to jump into a couple of other local stories first?
Yeah, let's talk startups to watch. This is a fun list we're able to put together each year. Actually, we've been doing it back since we started in 2014. And you know, really the idea is to kind of highlight some up-and-coming startups that, you know, maybe have shown some early promise, but have the potential to make a big impact in the years to come. So this list is really kind of designed to really unveil these companies to readers who are just getting off the ground, you know, 3 years or old or younger, just raised about a Series A round of funding or less, and who have a potential for some big things upcoming. So, you know, on this list, you'll find companies that we've talked to you about over the last year. Alchemy, which is a startup in Chicago led by a former Bear safety, Ryan Mundy. They're creating a platform to connect people with professionals in psychology, wellness, mindfulness, specifically focused on the Black community. They think of themselves as a Peloton for Black mental health. They have live stream content, on-demand content, and they offer it via a subscription service that, you know, but people have, you know, better access to mental health services. So a lot of promise there for that startup, which raised about $4.6 million this year. And another company we've talked about with you not too long ago, John, was Aquacultured Foods. This is a startup in Chicago that's doing lab-grown seafood. They've created a microbial fermentation process that makes seafood out of fungi. They've got popcorn shrimp and fried calamari hitting shelves next year, and eventually aim to create, you know, a whole cut seafood, tuna, whitefish, scallop, all yeah. Alternatives from traditional foods.
Did you tell us about Betsperts before?
Yeah, so Betsperts is a company we've been tracking for the last couple years, a sports betting platform here in Chicago. They've raised a few million bucks, and some of their investors actually include NBA superstars Kevin Durant and Chris Paul. Their app lets you track successful gamblers and sort of either follow their bets or bet against them based on how they're performing. So it kind of gives you a sort of a real-time update on, you know, what some successful gamblers or maybe not so successful gamblers are doing in real time, and help you make better informed decisions on your next bet.
Right. So I don't have to be an expert. I'll just follow the people that are and mimic them is maybe how people would use it, right?
Exactly. And this year they acquired a tool called the Fantasy Life app, which is a company created by ESPN personality Matthew Berry, if you follow the fantasy sports space. And that was a big entry for them, kind of beyond gambling into fantasy sports as well. So they have a big opportunity ahead, both in the legal gambling side of things in sports, but also fantasy sports.
Evergreen Waffles.
Yeah, Evergreen Waffles is a really interesting one. This is a healthier alternative to your traditional frozen Eggo waffles, made with 100% whole grain flour, and they use almond milk instead of dairy, sweetened with honey instead of sugar, and flavored with fruits and nuts and spices. And it's actually founded by Emily Grodin, who previously was the lawyer, in-house lawyer at Alinea restaurant in Chicago. And they're growing like crazy. They've got their waffles in Whole Foods, Foxtrot, Sunset Foods, other independent retailers, really growing quickly in Chicago with their Better For You frozen waffle.
I like waffles and haven't had one ever since I decided that Eggo waffles weren't good for you. Maybe I should try these, huh?
Yeah, you know, I've been able to try them as well, and they're pretty tasty, and yeah, I mean, you definitely feel better about yourself after having one compared to the traditional frozen stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. What else jumps out at you? Who else was kind of off the beaten path or interesting to you from Chicago in the tech sector?
Yeah, more of a techie one here, Presidio. This is a startup actually created by a couple of founders who sold their last business to DocuSign in 2013. Presidio has created an online vault where users can store important documents. So, you know, think everything from wills to legal agreements, you know, your COVID health records and, you know, other healthcare docs, all online and in a secure way. So these founders created Cartavi, which is a real estate document management company that DocuSign bought back in 2013, and these founders have retooled and got their latest business off and running here and plan to launch their public beta in early 2022. So that's a really interesting one. And, you know, sort of speaking of serial entrepreneurs, Sifter is a grocery shopping platform that lets you search for products based on your specific diet and medical needs. And it's actually led by the founders of Peapod. So the brothers team of Andrew and Thomas Parkinson, they have created this company now since after launching their delivery pioneer Peapod. And it lets you set up a profile and sort of directly identify the allergies that you have and find products that fit those needs. So it's definitely a needed tool for people who are, you know, struggling to find things at the grocery store that fit their diet needs.
We're talking to Jim Dahlke, senior editor at Chicago Inno. Give me one more and then I'll ask you about a couple of other stories that are in the news. This is their annual list of companies to watch for. You can find it all at chicagoinno.com. Tell me a story of one more company.
Yeah, this is a future of work startup that's really interesting in town called Spot. Spot wants to sort of keep you untethered from your computer and off of Zoom during work calls. And they've created an app that lets you record the call and really act as a virtual assistant that takes notes for you during the call. So users can use Spot and say, Spot fetch, or press a button on the app screen, and Spot will automatically transcribe the last 40 seconds of the call for you. So, while you're doing your call, you can, you know, share meeting highlights and get some follow-up notes. And really, the idea is to take walking meetings. So throw your headphones in and take a walk while you're doing your call and stop staring at your Zoom screen all day. So they've raised nearly $7 million just from launching this year. Kleiner Perkins, big Silicon Valley VC firm, invested in them. So I think they've got a really interesting road ahead as a new sort of future of work startup.
I'll ask you about one more thing. The US EPA is going to give money to a Chicago startup?
Yeah, that's right. Reaply is a startup here in Chicago. They got part of $3 million that the EPA is giving out. They're addressing companies that are tackling environment and public health problems. And Reaply, a really interesting business. They specialize in recycling and sourcing unused items. So, you know, they work with companies in higher education and healthcare reuse and recycle some of their, bigger pieces of equipment. So rather than throwing them away in landfills, that we can get these into other industries that can really use them. And Replay's been growing really quickly. They raised funding this year from a range of different investors, including Microsoft and MIT, and have a really big opportunity, I think, here to kind of bring a little bit of a green tech to lots of industries that end up having a lot of waste.
Read more at ChicagoInno.com. Senior editor there, Jim Dahlke. Okay, Jim, well done. Thanks for your time today. WGN Radio News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 8 minutes. It's 12:52. Amy Guth joins us to talk about a few stories in the news today. Let's start with Airbnb and their party restrictions. What's the news there?
Yeah, that's right. So Airbnb has put some different restrictions throughout the pandemic about, staying there and the number of people that can be in houses, things like that. But the latest is that they have tightened what they're describing as anti-party rules for rentals as New Year's Eve approaches. They've had some issues with big house parties. If you recall a few years ago, I think it was 2019, there was a fatal shooting at a large Halloween party at a rental in California. So to the person, who owned the house, who was renting it out, it just looked like, someone rented the house for a couple of days. No big deal. Meanwhile, there's 100 people in this house at the time when this happened, and 5 people died in that shooting. So that was part of it. But then adding in the COVID issues, they have put some other restrictions. So essentially, unless you have a track record as a guest, that you have other, like a history of positive reviews from other Airbnb hosts, you won't be able to book 1, 2, or 3 night reservations. And that applied. That's US, Canada, Brazil, UK, France, Spain, Australia, New Zealand. I mean, this is all around the globe as they are doing this because for this very reason. They're focusing on, they want to, they're saying, hey, these big parties could heighten risks. Things like that. So unless you've got that track record and if you're planning on renting some big beach house or something like that for New Year's Eve, you're going to have to go another route for Airbnb. And they say that if they find out someone has skirted these rules, if they've had a large party, they could ban someone from the platform or even possibly take legal action against them.
Well, they have your credit card too, right? I mean, I wonder if they could, I guess if you, I don't know how it works for Airbnbs, but if you damage a property, then I presume you pay for it, right?
Certainly, even if you don't leave the place clean to the specifications of the host. So every host kind of sets their own, here's how we need you to check out. That might be throw the sheets in the washer. That might be, just leave the towels on the floor, whatever that is. If you don't leave it in the condition that the host lays out, you can be charged a cleaning fee. If you smoke on the property, if they say there's no smoking, things like that, there can be a lot of ways that you can be charged. But certainly, in the COVID era, when having, large groups of people together, especially lately, there's advice against doing that. In addition to the risk of having, huge parties, there's sound issues for neighbors, there's safety issues, things like that. So they're rolling it out and they're being pretty serious about it. They've by even threatening legal action in some cases, if not just kicked off the platform.
And these restrictions apply for New Year's Eve, right? I mean,
that's right.
Obviously, you can't get good reviews if you don't get reviews. You got to let people on the platform eventually, but they're just restricting it for New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they haven't really said how they're defining history of positive reviews. That was a question that I had that I didn't really get a clear answer to. History of positive reviews, that means have you been on the platform for 3 years and in that time you've had nothing but good reviews? If you've maybe traveled one summer 3 years ago but haven't traveled since, does that count as history? Mm-hmm. What kind of frequency are they looking at? So that's something I'm going to be watching for sure.
Why are you following Pantene and Herbal Essence shampoos?
Well, if you recall, earlier in the fall, you and I talked a little bit about a recall. There was some aerosol products that were like self-tanners and sunscreens and things like this. So they have, Procter & Gamble has added to this. So there's Pantene, Herbal Essences, Hair Food, Old Spice, and Aussie hair products. This was a recall that Procter & Gamble issued on Friday. They've said that this is because they have benzene in there, which is a cancer-causing agent. That has gotten into these products. And they have said there have been no reports of injuries or anything like that. But they did say that exposure to benzene, even by inhalation or through the skin, could result in some issues, some health concerns. So they have asked people to get rid of those products. They are offering full refunds. If you go to the Procter & Gamble website, there's a contact form or there's an 800 number of people can call during business hours. There's also an alert on the Food and Drug Administration's website if you want to look at those and other kinds of recalls going on. But, you know, Procter & Gamble, it's unclear exactly what happened to get the benzene in these products, of why this occurred and, you know, why they're doing these two recalls so close together. But nonetheless, they've recalled quite a bit. What I'll be interested in later is, because just the high volume of things and two recalls so close together, I'll be interested to see how that impacts their bottom line, if that affects them maybe next quarter or something like that.
Time just for the headline on this one, maybe, Amy, but marijuana did not do as well, huh?
Yeah, it really didn't. Now, some people say that's to be expected. Some industry watchers that spoke with Cranes, were talking about, you know, this is natural. Even a spokesperson for the governor's office said there will be fluctuations in consumer activity. However, part of this is there's 185 recreational marijuana shop licenses that are still in legal limbo, and it's unclear when they're going to be resolved because they have these pending lawsuits. So we're tracking a little bit lower than perhaps we had hoped, but we still have quite a big number when we're looking at what we could be collecting. $428 million in sales taxes is our 2021 number, and even though some industry watchers have said that's a little bit low, that's maybe about 10% lower than it could be, that's still a pretty big number from a still pretty new industry here in Illinois.
Amy Guth on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thank you, Amy.
Thanks so much, John.